Sometimes you ever think things and probably should tell somebody and you don't tell somebody? I just want to tell you, I was thinking this morning how thankful I am to be a part of this church family. Just blesses me more than you know. And Cheryl and I talk about that often, how what have we deserved, or how what have we done to deserve the blessings that God has given us. And you guys are right at the top of the list. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Beginning in verse 1. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. This is one of those passages that we ought to have written on our heart. Great passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for being the God of all comfort. We pray now that you would send your Spirit. You would speak in power and authority. And you would change our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. We are continuing our sermon series on Dying with Christ. And if you've been here for the first two of this series, you've heard me say that dying is a model that we have adopted for our church, that is taken from the leading of our conference, and it is an acronym for the words deploy, invite, nurture, and equip. Those are the qualities of the church that I believe God is calling us to be. This week, we are studying the N, which is nurture, to nurture like Christ. I thought as we began talking about this word nurture, it's, you know, this word nurture, how caring for one another and comforting one another and lifting one another up. I thought it might help us to see maybe not how to do that. Not how to do that. So go ahead and fire that video up for me there, Lee.
There's a lot of hand sanitizer in church. Anybody notice that? I don't know. At my church, they have these two hand sanitizer stations right by the front door greeters.
Hello.
That is not a good message. People come in on Sunday. How you doing? Nice to see y'all. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming. You're going to love it here. We just love people. You can just be yourself. You can just be yourself. We don't care. We don't judge you. We just love. You sit back, and whatever questions you have, you let us know. We'll let you know whatever we can do for you, okay? Y'all newly married? You got four kids? Four kids. That is amazing. God love. We love kids here. Kids are like a little gift from God is what they are. They are just wonderful little creatures that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where y'all from? Arkansas? Okay. There's some mints in the basket.
Tim Hawkins, I don't know if a Christian comedian, if we saw Tim Hawkins out at HSU a couple of months ago, and my side hurt. I laughed so hard. And he started in and launched in on that hand sanitizer, and immediately what came to my mind was the two humongous bottles of hand sanitizer in our foyer. We'd just put them out, I mean, like 2 weeks before that or something. Probably not the greatest message in the world to send to people when we're talking about nurture, but that's what, you know, maybe for us what not to do. As we go into this subject of being a nurturing church, being a nurturing Christian, the one thing that just really struck me so clearly, and you've heard me say this before, God has spoken this to my heart many times, but there are hurting people everywhere. Do we know that? Right here, some of you listening to me right now are hurting. This world is tough. Anybody besides me notice that? It's tough. We go through a lot of stuff, don't we? A lot of stuff. And it reminds me, y'all, it's been a while since I've used my shoulders as an analogy, but I've taken about a 4-year break, so I'm going to talk about my shoulder again. But you know, it reminds me when I think about there's this woundedness in us. And if you've been here for very long, you've heard, you know, I hurt my shoulders 30 years ago playing football, and I've had 3 surgeries, and Lori Freimeyer has been my therapist after each surgery, and she enjoys the pain she gets to inflict on me during that time. But you know, my shoulders, you can't tell it. You can't tell that unless you see all the scars on them when I show you my shoulder, but you can't tell that I have bad shoulders, can you? I mean, they if I did certain things, you'd be able to tell. But I have gotten to the point where I have to be careful when I'm putting on a t-shirt. I have to be careful when I'm taking a shower, when I'm sleeping. I've had it come out in the middle of sleeping. My shoulders come out of socket. I've had them come out. One of my probably most humorous, it wasn't humorous at the time, one of my most humorous times was when the girls were fairly little, and one of them, I forget who, I think it was probably Jordan, spilt spaghetti on the floor. She was a little bitty gal, you know, and we didn't get mad at her because she was little, and we're cleaning it up. And I remember I was trying not to step in the spaghetti, and it was on a tile floor. And I've got my hand down, and I'm reaching out like this, and evidently my hand was a little bit on the spaghetti, and my arm just kind of slipped as I was doing that, and it went up in the legs of the chair and came out of socket. So I'm hung up in the legs of the chair with my shoulder out of socket, and they're freaking out. They're, you know, my family doesn't handle, you know, things like that very well. The girls are all, you know, that's what they do when things happen like that. And that's fairly accurate, isn't it? Yeah. It might have been, you know, an octave or two higher, I'm not sure. But we live with our brokenness, don't we? And instead of going to the physician to get healed, we just learn to live with it, don't we? Nobody knows there's anything wrong with my shoulders. I'm doing just fine until something happens and it's revealed. But see, God doesn't want us to just get by. He wants to take wounded people and He wants to heal them. He wants wholeness for us. Did you know that? And that's what I get so frustrated. We spend all this time in our culture justifying sin in our culture, because we think it might hurt someone's feelings if we talk about that's sinful. But see, we don't realize that we're doing them the greatest disservice in the world, because what God wants for us is wholeness. He doesn't want us to justify the sin in our life and the brokenness in our life. He doesn't want that. He wants wholeness for us. And guess what? He gives us, church, the privilege of being His ambassadors of healing. Did you know that? And so when we remain silent, when we see brokenness, you know, if one of you came to see me as a pastor or as a friend, doesn't matter if I'm your pastor, if one of you came to see me and said, "Hey Jeff, man, I know I'm married, all that, but I've got a girlfriend, and man, I really love her. That she's the one." I just haven't been happy. You know I haven't been happy for a long time. And I had this girlfriend. And would it be loving for me to go, "Bro, if you love her, man, I think you need to go for it. Because you know it's about love." Or would it be nurturing and loving for me to say, "Stop. Go, stop it. Go home and love your wife." Which is loving? Which is nurturing, church? If you come to me with those kinds of things, I'm going to speak God's truth in love to you. Not condemnation or judgment, but love. God wants wholeness for us. He's created man and woman to come together as husband and wife and to love. He's created husbands to love their wives the way Christ loves the church. So I would tell that person, go home and love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And that girlfriend, she needs to be out of the picture. That's what I would tell them, because I want to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're going to talk today about being a nurturer, being a nurturing Christian. And I'm going to hit this pretty quickly. You can read, but if you look on the back of your handout, you've got the dine sheet. And I've been giving you one of these each Sunday through this series. And I just want to touch on this pretty quickly. Alice and Cindy, are y'all here? Let's see, Alice, Cindy. Would y'all kind of stand up for just a second? Alice and Cindy. Okay, and y'all got to... Well, that was quick. Woo! You thought I was going to pray for the pregnant women here in a minute again, right? So you just like, woo! I joked earlier when I sat back down a while ago after I prayed for the pregnant ladies, and I told Cheryl, I said, "I'm sure glad you didn't come forward." But anyway, that's another sermon. But this, we are looking at the nurturing team. We want to be a nurturing church. Christ has called us to be His hands and His feet and to love on His people. Look at if you'll notice the vision for that nurturing team is to love people, not just to love people, but love them on behalf of Christ. Because see, if we, and you've heard me say this before, if we just build homes and if we just feed the hungry and if we just give people money and do all sorts of good things and we don't offer them Christ, then we have not fulfilled our purpose as the church. Loving people on behalf of Christ. Now, if you are interested, if that stirs you, that just the idea of loving people on behalf of Christ, being a nurturing person, I want you to see Cindy or Alice, and those ladies will hook you up to get you plugged in to this ministry. Terry Paramore, Terry, you can just raise your hand. I won't make you stand up. Terry back there, that's a fairly new area that we have started. It's just caring for people that need caring for, whether they're sick or in the hospital or they've lost a loved one or they're just struggling with any sort of issue in their life. Terry is creating a team to be involved in that kind of ministry. We want to be that kind of church. And if you are interested in that, see Terry. Lori Freimeyer, formerly known as the Woohoo Committee. We're too classy for that now, Lori. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. The Congregational Fellowship / Woohoo Committee. Just being a church that loves one another, that just enjoys each other's fellowship and so forth. If you are interested in that kind of thing, see Lori. Peggy, where's Peggy? Peggy's in the nursery. She's nurturing on our little children right now. Awesome. Peggy, we're looking to grow that team for hospital visits. We do that as a staff when we have people in the hospital. If you'll let us know, we want to come and be a part of Christ reaching out to you. But it's important that that happens by more than just me or Billy. It's important that us as a church, our laity, that we reach out to one another. And so Peggy is heading up that. Our nursing home is, again, we've been doing ministry. Where are our fingernail ladies? If you're a fingernail lady, stand up. Come on. I need my cuticles worked on after church, okay? These ladies have, for years, have been going to the nursing home painting fingernails. Can you paint a fingernail? Then you can be the hands and feet of Jesus. What a great ministry. We're wanting to expand our nursing home outreach. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 nursing homes. Almost I can throw a rock from right here and almost hit 4 nursing homes from our back door. Now we should be in ministry to those facilities and to those residents. If you're interested in being a part of that, where's Grace and Dev? Grace and Dev are trying to start that and build a team for that. Joyce, I tell you, I'm so thankful for Joyce and for that prayer team. When you fill out the little yellow slips, the prayer slips, unless you place confidential in that box, immediately on sometimes on Sunday afternoon, but more likely Monday morning, those prayer needs go out to the prayer team, and they are being prayed for immediately. If you have those things, not to mention that we have people in the prayer room during worship each week. We have people available in the sanctuary if you need prayer. If you're part of the prayer team, stand up real quick. If you got the little blue name tag on, and some of you, hey, y'all have your name tags on. All right, y'all get a raise. John, where's John here? John, wave your hand. I don't want to wake him up a minute. John, you know, this is an important deal. We don't even realize that if you come in here and you leave trash or your pencil needs sharpening or whatever, John comes in and he goes through our sanctuary every week and sharpens pencils and puts new prayer slips out and picks up, you know, whatever that's been left and tries to keep our sanctuary looking good. That's part of our care. Margaret back there. Margaret does our special needs meals. If you have funerals and things such as that, Margaret coordinates those meals. And I hope it doesn't embarrass you, but Margaret doesn't see real well. And it doesn't slow her down. It doesn't slow her down. She's about God's business. You know, maybe she doesn't see real well, but she can talk on the telephone. She can exchange emails. She can line people up for meals, and she is being the body of Christ. She's nurturing and caring for our congregation. Judy Farmer. Judy does our Wednesday night meals, and she has a team of people that help her immensely. And if you're part of that team, raise your hand. Wednesday night meal team. Bunch of you. And I can tell the weeks that Lee does it because no one goes through the line. But I'm just kidding, brother.
I control the video.
moving right on. You should know not to sass the guy that has control of the video. And Pat's back here in the back. Wave your hand. Pat does our CDs and DVDs, makes those copies for you, and puts them out at our table, our station for you, and if you need one at the office and letting her know. And that's, we've got a couple here, I won't embarrass them, but was part of our church several years ago, has moved off, and they listen to our website sermons, I guess, every week. I'm much better in person, aren't I? Yeah, the glare is a lot better here in person. But that's ministry. That's being a nurturing church. And this list is not complete. I'd like to see you have ideas. God put things on your heart, and you go, golly, why don't we do this? This would be awesome. Let's do this. Contact Alice or Cindy and let them know that you want to expand what we're doing with nurture. Now, I want us to look at this scripture a little bit closer and see what Paul is trying to teach us, what God is trying to teach us about a nurturing Christian. A nurturing Christian, the first thing is that sees people through the eyes of Christ. You know, sometimes I remember the video called The Truth Project we did a few years ago. And I remember very clearly Dr. Dale Tackett that was the host of that video series. I remember him saying they interviewed all of these people that had all kinds of radical ideas and worldviews, and they were just all over the place, obviously not Christian worldviews. And I remember him saying towards the end of that series is, you know, not seeing them as the enemy, but seeing them as captive by things that are not the truth. Just being captive, like they're bound up in things that are not of God, and in how it's our goal to share Christ with them, which will free them up to be who God has created them to be, to see people through the eyes of Christ. And here's the deal. God is calling us to have compassion for others because He has had compassion on us. How many of you this morning got your act all together? None of us do we? None of us have our act all together. He's calling us to have compassion for others because He has compassion on us. That's what a nurturing Christian looks like. They see people through the eyes of Christ. Jesus, it talks about in Matthew 9 that Jesus was going around doing ministry, and it says in Matthew 9, the verse 36, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's the way Christ sees those that don't have a relationship with Him. He sees them as harassed and helpless. He sees them with great compassion. Do we, church, do we see those outside our walls, outside of our faith? Do we see them like that? Colossians, chapter 3, Paul says that, therefore, as God's chosen people, because God has chosen us because we belong to Him, because we are holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and wrap them all up with love. That's the heart of God for those outside of Christ. Second thing, a nurturing Christian has been comforted. How many of us have not been comforted by Christ? I mean, through something. Perhaps just through fear, anxiety, something that we're just scared to death that we're going to lose a job. We're scared to death that a relationship is going to end. We're scared to death where our next bill is going to be paid from. We're scared to death what the doctor's going to say. A nurturing Christian has been comforted already. You can't comfort until you have been comforted. Did you know that? You can't offer comfort if you know nothing about being comforted. You can't do it. And who among us has not been comforted? This passage that we're looking at today is so powerful. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. The third thing, a nurturing Christian, we're not going to like this one, by the way. A nurturing Christian has suffered. We don't like to suffer, do we? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes trials in their lives. But did you know that you can't comfort until you have suffered? Hello. We don't like that piece of this puzzle, do we? We can't comfort unless we've been comforted, and we can't be comforted unless we have suffered. Look at this passage in verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Just think about the definition of being comforted implies that you're needing to be comforted for something, because of something. Something's going on in your life, you're suffering, there's trials, or you wouldn't be in need of being comforted, would you? So we have to understand that if we want to be a comforter, then we must have been comforted, and in order to be comforted, we must have suffered. If you have suffered, guess what? God is molding you into His healing agent. His healing agent. In September, my family had the 10-year anniversary of Jay's death. I remember, you know, that was people, as I said, we all go through things. And I don't feel any different than anyone else. We go through things. That's the nature of this world we live in. It's broken. It's fallen. Bad things happen. But that was a very traumatic time. Still is. 10 years later, it's a very traumatic thing that a family goes through. And I remember, yesterday, I hadn't opened this in 10 years. And this box is 180, I counted them last night, 180 letters from the body of Christ. And that's not counting what my mom and dad received. This is just what me and Cheryl and the girls received after Jay's death. 180 cards, letters, prayers. And I pray, I'm prayerful. It is my hope and desire and my intent that the comfort we received from the body of Christ 10 years ago and even to this day through Jay's loss, I pray that I've been able to pass that on. So some of that comfort has overflowed out of me into your lives. See, that's the way God says it works. And I was trying to read as many of these as I could last night, and I'll tell you, it was hard. It was hard. I've had those in the bottom of my closet for 10 years, knowing that someday I'd look back through them. Someday was yesterday. This particular one really struck me. This is from a lady whose husband was a police officer, a friend of Jay's, and they lived out in the area off of Highway 36 out there where Jay's accident was, and she happened to be passing by just shortly after the explosion, and she got to go and be with Jay as they were waiting for the ambulance and so forth, and she didn't recognize him at first. He had to tell her who he was, and she and I had some really good visits in the days and weeks following Jay's death. And I'm just going to read some of this letter to you, because this is it. This is what I'm saying. I think what God would speak to our heart. Dear Jeff, I know that I don't have to say this again, but I am so sorry that this accident took Jay's life. And you were so right when you told me last week that we are all looking for ways to fix an unfixable situation. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your last sentence in your letter to the editor. I'm so thankful that you are able to feel this way in the face of your profound loss. I can't even remember what I said in that letter. I appreciate also your thanking me for caring for Jay. But Jeff, please know that I in turn thank God for giving me the privilege and honor of being sent there by the Lord to be with Jay at a time when he needed a friend. Even though this has been by far the most painful thing I've ever endured, I've also experienced God's greatest blessing by being in a situation where the Holy Spirit was freely working and in control. Nothing can account for the peace that was present except for the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Jesus promised us that where two or more gathered in his name, he would be there, and of course he was. I am so thankful, too, that the Lord strengthened and sustained Jay so he could have those moments with you. I know you will treasure those words in your heart forever, just as I do the time I spent with him at the scene. Just hold fast to the hope that this life begun here continues on and that your family will be reunited in due time. And meanwhile, Jay is happier than he's ever been. My prayers are with you. Love in Christ. See, the comfort that he pours out on us overflows to others. I just really feel this morning that there is some brokenness in some of us. And I just really feel like God wants to take care of that this morning. You know, I still grieve Jay's loss. I still grieve Jay's loss. And I know many of you grieve the loss of someone in your life. But God is still good. And God is on the throne. And while we may have questions and we may not understand everything, he is the God of all comfort. And he's offering that comfort to us. He doesn't want you to just pretend that the wound isn't there and just get by. He wants to be the healer. He wants to make you whole where there's just that emptiness that's been in your life. I just want to, Terry, would you come and just play us a little bit on the keyboard. I want to open up the altar to you. And I just want to say, you know, as Mark talked earlier in the prayer time, how, you know, there's this, I believe the enemy wants to embarrass us, wants to work through embarrassment or shame or like, oh, you can't let anybody know that life's not perfect for you. You can't let them know that. They think you got it together. Well, I just want to say, as I scan through the audience, I know you don't have it together. The secret is out. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. The bottom line is, this world is tough. And God is the God of all comfort. And he wants to use his people to nurture us. And so I want to ask the prayer team to just kind of come and just be, make yourself available, as I will be available, as Terry plays. This altar is open. We're just going to spend a few minutes just bringing our hurts and our pains and our needs before a holy and heavenly God. Come. our praise team would come up. We'll stand and close our service today. I will be up front if you want to come and talk to me about anything or have me pray with you or talk to me about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior or joining our church, anything at all, I'll be here. Let's stand. Be to God, the God of all comfort. Do you praise Him for being the God of all comfort? Amen. Now go and comfort as you have been comforted. And go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.